It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome aboard. Let's start outside. Powerful storms are impacting millions of Americans today, and we're getting in on the action too. A line of thunderstorms moving west to east across the region will wipe away a lot of that humidity, but it also spells some potential problems. Meteorologist Kevin Williams says you'll have to watch for dangerous lightning, high winds, and drenching downpours this afternoon. As Kev likes to say, stay skywise. Heavy rain and hurricane force winds overnight left 700,000 people without power throughout the Midwest.
The winds downing trees and power lines in Minnesota and Illinois and grounding more than 300 flights out of Chicago's O'Hare Airport.
Farther south, there's a state of emergency still in the state of Mississippi and no reliable drinking water whatsoever for the 200,000 residents of the capital, Jackson.
Do not drink the water.
Emergency officials there working round the clock to try and fix the city's main water treatment plant. In the meantime, bottled water is being brought in to alleviate those water woes. Schools closed today in Jackson. The National Guard's been called in. The president in Pennsylvania, with 2 months to go before the election, President Biden makes a pit stop in the politically crucial Commonwealth today.
It's such a big deal that he's coming.
It's something to see, like, the president.
The commander-in-chief will be at the March Center on the campus of Wilkes University to talk about gun violence.
I'm determined to ban assault weapons in this country.
On Thursday, he will be delivering a primetime address outside Philadelphia's Independence Hall. The White House is calling it a, quote, battle for the soul of America speech. And then on Monday, the president will deliver a Labor Day address from Pittsburgh. The latest CBS News battleground tracker shows Republicans are poised to take 226 seats in the House this year. 218 are needed for a majority. Pollster Anthony Salvanto says Democrats have managed, though, to narrow the gap. He says there are several key issues in play this November.
They are abortion, a little bit of improvement in the economy and prospects, and a little bit of improvement for Joe Biden, and then the Trump factor.
Other polls suggest it is pocketbook issues like inflation that will matter the most to the voters come Election Day, just 2 months away. Now, the latest on the FBI raid at Donald Trump's home in Florida. The Justice Department says it has completed its review of the documents seized. Team Trump wants an independent third-party observer to referee this politically charged case.
There's still a need for a judge to get involved on every aspect of this, letting us build a case for why this search warrant was not only essentially morally wrong, but legally wrong.
But legal analyst Danny Savalas says the Trump team may have waited too long to request an independent party get involved.
Now that the documents have mostly been reviewed, you cannot put that toothpaste back in the tube. So the reason for a special master becomes diminished.
A Florida judge expected to rule soon on whether to appoint that special master to review the case. Former Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway says Republicans who distance themselves from Donald Trump this election year may do so at their own peril.
Those who want to move on from Trump, you go first. People are so obsessed with him, they don't spend a minute learning what the 74 million Trump voters want. Anybody who wants the party to move on from Trump, I dare you, go first. And anytime the Democrats tell you which Republican should be your nominee, run in the other direction.
Conway points out that more than 90% of Trump-backed Republicans won their primary elections this year. The Biden administration's accused of having a double standard when it comes to its COVID vaccine policies. Vax rules have barred tennis great Novak Djokovic from competing at the U.S. Open. This despite every day thousands of unvaccinated migrants coming across the border from Mexico. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was pressed about this by Fox News correspondent Peter Ducey. Here's some of their exchange.
Somebody unvaccinated comes over on a plane. You say that's not okay. Somebody walks into Texas or Arizona unvaccinated. They're allowed to stay. Why?
But that's not how it works. Like, we actually... No.
I know that that's not what you guys want to happen, but that is what is happening.
But that's not... It's not like somebody walks over. That's not how...
That's exactly what's happening.
Brandon Judd is president of the National Border Patrol Council.
And I watch these people walk across the border every single day. She knows exactly what's happening, but she's deflecting. She's lying. She knows that the mainstream media isn't going to cover this issue.
Illegal border crossings have already topped 2 million this year, and that is the most on record. 1 year ago today, the last U.S. soldier left Afghanistan. The military plane departed Kabul Airport at 11:59 p.m. August 30th, 2021. Retired Army General Jack Keane fears Al-Qaeda, Inc. will be back in business because of that decision to exit Afghanistan.
They're going to grow and thrive under the protection of the Taliban. They're not at the level they were at 9/11, but they're going to work very hard to get there, and their aspiration is to attack us.
Our departure from Afghanistan came just days after 13 American service members and 170 Afghans were killed in a bombing at the Kabul airport. Nearly 90,000 Afghans have been resettled in this country since the chaotic end to America's longest war. Well, here's to your health. 75% of today's teenagers are not getting enough exercise. The University of Georgia study finds the lowest levels among female students in middle and high school. Pilots coming across drones while trying to land planes has been a major problem for several years. Now a new program aims to address that.
It's called the Unmanned Aircraft Systems Testbed Program, a complicated name. It's basically designed to help pilots avoid drones and other airborne objects like this.
We just passed a guy in a jetpack.
Don't hear that every day.
Los Angeles is the second airport to begin testing the program, and it's a growing problem. This year here in L.A., there have been more than three dozen drones visually detected at the airport, and on Super Bowl Sunday, one drone came within 700 feet of a plane. Steve Futterman, Los Angeles.
Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, whipped cream can ban. Wolf's new payment plan, is he buying votes? And COVID's back in Syracuse.
Good afternoon to all. Tracking thunderstorms for the area this afternoon. Then a cold front brings sweeping changes thereafter. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, a nursing home in Syracuse has opened up a COVID-19 wing after dozens of patients tested positive for the virus. 40 residents and 8 employees at the Bishop Rehabilitation and Nursing Center on James Street have been put in isolation. This outbreak was first discovered over the weekend following routine coronavirus testing. Important to note, no hospitalizations or deaths have been reported. Both the Democratic candidates for governor and U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania making headlines today. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Yeah, Bob, we'll start with John Fetterman, the state's lieutenant governor, trying to flip a red seat blue in the U.S. Senate. He's calling for a total decriminalization of marijuana in Pennsylvania, claiming Pennsylvanians overwhelmingly support it. Dr. Mehmet Oz, Fetterman's opponent in the fall election, says this is further evidence of the Democrats' total disregard for the rule of law. Meanwhile, Josh Shapiro, the state's attorney general and Democratic candidate for governor, vows to discontinue some of the pandemic policies of the Wolf administration if he's elected in November. These are some of the same COVID containment protocols that Shapiro went to court to defend as attorney general. Political observers say disavowing Governor Wolf's COVID policies may be a politically painless way for Shapiro to tack to the middle against Doug Mastriano, who has repeatedly called the pandemic protocols in Pennsylvania unconstitutional. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Brandon. Governor Wolf is doubling down on his pitch to provide a $2,000 check to 250,000 Pennsylvania families. Those checks would go to individuals or households earning less than $80,000 a year. Wolf says it's to help low-income residents survive inflation.
You want to spend it on gas, on rent, on taxes, on food, whatever. You have $2,000 to spend, and it's your decision. I'm not sure why anybody would be against this.
Republicans call the Wolf Free Money Plan a political stunt.
Not unlike forgiving $10,000 in student debt a few months before the midterm elections. It is like the PRI in Mexico handing out groceries in line before you vote. This is a vote-buying scheme.
And it will make inflation worse, says political pundit Will Cain.
How does he rationalize this doesn't lead to increasing inflation? They are addicted to giving away more of the poison as the cure. You give away free money, you will rise prices once again. It happens in everything the government gets involved in.
Governor Wolf wants to use $500 million in surplus money to pay for the cash giveaways. The GOP argues Pennsylvania needs to save that money to dig out of a recession that's coming or may already be here. Onondaga County, New York, District Attorney Bill Fitzpatrick says the disabled boy who was found alive with the bodies of two shooting victims was alone with them for days. Last Wednesday, police responded to the scene of a grisly crime. The bodies of a 32-year-old woman and 46-year-old man found in an apartment in Syracuse. The child, just 5 or 6 years old, is blind and a paraplegic after suffering injuries caused by shaken baby syndrome. No arrests yet have been made. 4 dozen New York State lawmakers are urging credit card companies MasterCard and American Express to support a measure that would flag suspicious purchases at gun stores.
Yeah, that's right. Each purchase is tagged with a merchant category code, but there are no codes for gun sales. Lawmakers say creating those codes could help law enforcement stop crimes like gun trafficking or even mass shootings. But critics argue it's not that simple. The National Shooting Sports Foundation says buyers already go through background checks, and new codes would let credit card companies interfere with the Second Amendment. The National Rifle Association says a code for gun purchases could be used to create a de facto firearm registration to confiscate people's weapons. Federal law limits the sorts of information about gun ownership the government can collect. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Buffalo Superintendent Tanya Williams says the district's still trying to address a bus driver shortage before kids return to class next week. New York's second largest school district is working with a transportation company to make sure kids can get to school on time and then back home again once the school day is done. Just months after rejecting an after-school Satan Club, the Northern York School District in Pennsylvania has given permission to that group to hold a one-time back-to-school event in the high school auditorium. This past spring, the district voted overwhelmingly against allowing the Satanic Temple to offer after-school activities to elementary kids. Now, the school board will allow a Satanic Temple-sponsored event the night of September 24th, providing that group pay for the cost of using the school building. Now, in New York, it is illegal for anyone under the age of 21 to purchase a can of whipped cream. How come? Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez.
The Albany Times Union says stores will begin checking ID for customers buying Ready Whip and other brands. A state law went into effect last year banning sale of whipped cream to anyone under 21, but hasn't been enforced up until now. The goal? To prevent kids from getting their hands on the fluffy stuff and using the nitrous oxide cartridges for a quick high.
That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting. A Little League World Series team from Pennsylvania is about to receive a well-deserved attaboy. Here's Family Life's Brian Querrey.
After their incredible, perhaps even historic run in this year's Little League World Series, the Hollidaysburg Area Summer Baseball League team will be recognized on Wednesday as part of pregame festivities by the Altoona Curve. Hollidaysburg became the first Little League team from Blair County, Pennsylvania to ever compete in Williamsport after winning the Mid-Atlantic Regional Tournament. The Tigers finished the tournament with a record of 3-2, with both losses coming against the Southwest Regional Champion from Texas. Hollidaysburg's magical run in the Little League World Series also included a 10-1 record in elimination games this summer. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Brian. From the little boys to the big guys, your midday sports is next right here on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, both Anthony Rizzo and Aaron Judge hit home runs last night. For Judge, it was number 50 on the season, but the Yankees lost the game 4-3 to the Angels. who hit three home runs themselves. New York has now lost three straight. Toronto won their interleague contest in 11 innings over the Cubs 5-4, so the Blue Jays now within seven games of the Bronx Bombers. The only other American League game saw the Twins double up Boston 4-2. Over in the National League, King Albert. Albert Pujols now has the major league record for homering off of the most pitchers. Pujols went opposite field off lefty Ross Detweiler, who became the 450th different pitcher Pujols has taken yard. It was his 694th career long ball. Speaking of home runs, Tyler O'Neill hit two of them in that game for the Cardinals, who routed the Reds 13-4. Well, you have a 7-run lead, you expect to win the game. But that was not the case for the Phillies last night. They blew the lead and then some as Arizona came roaring back for a 13-7 win. In his first game in the bigs, Arizona's top prospect Corbin Carroll hit a 2-run go-ahead double in the fifth inning. O'Neill Cruz went deep for Pittsburgh, but the Pirates fell to the Brewers 7-5. Dodgers 3-2 winners over Miami, and the Padres edged the Giants 6-5. Some NBA news out of the Big Apple. The Knicks are giving R.J. Barrett a 4-year contract extension to keep the 22-year-old guard around for most, if not all, of his career. And at the U.S. Open Tennis Championships, Serena Williams will play at least one more round. She won in straight sets. That is a look at sports.
All right, Randy, man, thank you kindly. Exit Afghanistan 1 year later. We'll have the story coming up. Also ahead, powerful storms roaming the region. Kevin Williams in 4 minutes. And Biden hits the road with 2 months to go.
There's a new manifestation trend on TikTok, but it's really the same old thing in new garb. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A new manifestation trend called the whisper method has gone viral on TikTok. Now, if that word salad is new to you, manifestation is the practice of thinking about what you really, really want hard until you get it. The practice is grounded in New Age philosophy and seems to reemerge every few years in some new form. Well, the whisper method is that new form. This version involves thinking of something you really want and then identifying who can give it to you. Then you're to imagine yourself whispering instructions into that person's ear, such as, you're going to give me that promotion. You're going to fall in love with me. And if you really believe and whisper, then eventually you shall receive. We've seen this kind of thing before. Years ago, Oprah popularized something called The Secret, which is the philosophy that if people put positive thoughts and vibes into the universe, they get positive results back. In other words, if we send out energy claiming a bigger bank account, a smaller waist, or a better parking spot at Christmas, we'll get those things. From a motivational standpoint, it's not hard to understand how something like The Secret or the Whisper Method could gain some traction. It involves very little work with big rewards. In a 2006 episode of Oprah, she described The Secret this way, quote, what you focus on gets bigger. Now, short of the weird metaphysical claims to be able to manifest new objective realities, Oprah's not entirely off base. God created humans with creative ability. We cannot create out of nothing, of course, or ex nihilo like God did, but humans are unique among the creation in our ability to make something out of the world around us. Thus, humans invent, and they build, and they improve, and they innovate. And various studies have demonstrated that athletes who routinely imagine themselves performing well often develop a measurable competitive edge. However, as I learned when I tried to dunk a basketball, even the most imaginative and sincere visualization techniques cannot magically bend reality. Thus, researchers have come to believe that visualizing strong athletic performance is another way of practicing the sport, not to mention any athletic improvements served by visualizations are in addition to actually physically practicing the sport. At the end of the day, the whisper method isn't about training for a good performance or searching our hearts and motives to make sure they align with the will of God. The whisper method is about the illusion of control. It assumes that internal focus can somehow determine external realities. Now, this desire for control is nothing new, nor is the whisper method's shift in focus from changing our own actions to manipulating the actions of others. In that way, the whisper method simply reflects our cultural ethos that other people are primarily objects to be used in service to our own ends. But we didn't make the world and we're not in charge of it. God did, and He is. We're not to worry ourselves over controlling the world around us. Instead, we're to cast all our anxieties on Him. We're not to worry ourselves over controlling it, but instead are to cast all our anxieties on Him. If we're going to whisper, it should be in prayer to the God who made us and who loves us. In honest prayer, our hearts are taught what they truly desire. In prayer, we place those desires at the feet of our Heavenly Father. We ask Him to conform them and us to His will. And we trust that everything He does will be for our good. All of which makes prayer the very opposite of the whisper method, which only pretends that we can control the world and assumes that our strategies for controlling it are fully informed and perfectly wise, as if we have the faintest idea what's really best for us. We don't. In his book on prayer, Pastor Tim Keller wrote that God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything He knew. Well, thank goodness we don't live in a world where our wishing or our whispering makes it so. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 past the hour, Kevin Williams next.
Good afternoon. Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Mostly cloudy, breezy, warm, and humid. Showers and thunderstorms, some potent into the evening hours. High temperatures ahead of rains in the 80s, but dropping sharply overnight. Low temperatures near 60 tomorrow. Notice will be less humid. A cooler day, too, for many. A mix of clouds and sunshine with a pop-up thundershower possible in the afternoon. A breezy day. High temps mainly 70. Thursday is bright and crisp. High temperatures in the upper 60s to the middle 70s.
All right, Kevin Williams, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. And here's what's happening this Tuesday, the 30th of August. It was 1 year ago today that the last U.S. soldier left Afghanistan, ending a 20-year war, the longest war in U.S. history. Reporter MTS Tayov in Kabul spoke recently to an Afghan interpreter who's been in hiding from the Taliban ever since.
We filmed on smartphones so as not to draw the Taliban's attention to his location.
They always called me American spy. They're still searching for me to find me. Yeah.
And why do they call you an American spy?
Because I was a translator for 3 years for the U.S. Air Force.
Our departure from Afghanistan came just days after 13 American soldiers were killed, along with 170 Afghans, in a bombing at the Kabul airport. Nearly 90,000 Afghans have been resettled in this country since the chaotic end to America's longest war. President Biden hitting the road ahead of the midterms. He's in Wilkes-Barre this afternoon and will visit Philadelphia on Thursday for a primetime address to the nation at Independence Hall. The White House is calling that speech a battle for the soul of America speech. And then on Monday, Labor Day, the president will be in Pittsburgh. The water's unsafe to drink today for a couple hundred thousand people in the capital city of Mississippi. Flash flooding has damaged the main water treatment plant in Jackson.
We do not have reliable running water.
We get more from correspondent Omar Villafranca.
Residents will be without safe drinking water and have virtually no water pressure for an unknown period of time.
Bottled water is being brought in, as is the National Guard. A 25-year veteran of the FBI has resigned after being accused of suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. Timothy Tebow admitted he slow-walked the probe in 2020 out of concern it might impact the presidential election. Mark Thiessen with the Washington Times.
This is very serious, and this is not conservatives attacking the FBI. This is within the FBI.
Miranda Devine with the New York Post.
He is just one of a cabal of FBI officers who have been playing these games since the very beginning of Donald Trump's entry into politics.
Tebow had already been on a one-month leave after Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley raised concerns that the FBI was obstructing the Hunter Biden investigation. President Biden sparking outrage for referring to pro-Trump Republicans as semi-fascists. He made those remarks last week at a DNC fundraiser. The head of the DNC was asked about it by CBS's Major Garrett.
Biden said, "We should not view each other as adversaries in this country, but as neighbors. How does semi-fascism, as a label for the Republican Party, fit with that inaugural address?
Well, the one thing that President Joe Biden has been has always been consistent.
Mr. Chairman, you embrace the rhetoric semi-fascism to describe the Republican Party.
Well, it's not about the embracing. It's calling what it is.
That's DNC Chair Jamie Harrison. Rona McDaniel chairs the Republican National Committee.
Semi-fascist, deplorable, whatever word they want to use. There's a disdain for 74 million people who voted Republican. And Joe Biden, remember, ran on uniting and bringing people together. And it's really shameful and it's hurtful to people who are looking to him to lead.
New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu is among the Republicans now, saying that the president owes Republicans an apology for that semi-fascist remark. It's now 25 past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report right here on Family Life. Welcome back to another edition of Hometown Heroes. This week, our guest is Casey Jones of Belmont, New York. His group, Allegheny Hope, is helping build stronger families by connecting them with their local government and the local church. Take a listen.
Allegheny Hope is an organization that actually started about 15 years ago in the Houghton area. We're a Christian nonprofit, and we basically are an advocacy group for families. We have formed a Allegheny County Faith Community Health Ministry Network where we're trying to encourage churches to identify what the needs are within their congregations and also within their communities and find ways to address them.
So you make the point that a lot of families in Allegheny County simply are unaware or have limited knowledge of the resources that are available to them. Is that kind of what you mean by getting more transparency in government?
We try to equip people in regard to it, but what we're getting at here more than that is really local governments, and I've been involved in local governments. I was the mayor of the city of Norwich for 8 years in Chenango County, and what the tendency is for government officials to basically, quote-unquote, shield the news until it's ready. They feel it's ready to be released, and even then they many times don't. They don't tell people what's going on. Yeah. And so people have a very difficult time trying to find out what is happening from a governmental standpoint that may impact their lives. It really doesn't matter where you go. The problem is still the same. This is primarily focused on open government, and I've been an advocate involved in that for many years. I started out in the newspaper business when I was still in high school. And what I find is that the more people are aware, the more they're able to participate, and the more trust they have in government also.
Yeah. I wonder if this lack of transparency is a bigger problem in rural areas, or is that hard to gauge?
No, I think basically stepping back and looking at it, it's the same in many, many areas. Many local officials, because there's such a large turnover many times in government, really don't understand the Freedom of Information or Open Meetings Law, and so they shield it so that, you know, if you start asking questions, the first thing they think is that you're trying to embarrass them or you got something, you know, that's uncomfortable for them, and so therefore, you know, why are you asking for this? We want to educate the public and local officials in regard to what the law really is, which basically says everything is open unless there's specific things under the law that you're allowed to withhold for good reason, such as privacy issues and things like that.
You've done it all, too. I mean, starting in journalism, you know transparency is a key component to making a local government work. And I know you advocate for families. Aside from, like, disaster assistance or insurance issues, what are some of the frustrations that families are having in Allegheny County when it comes to their closest forms of government?
Well, I think it's all interwoven in many cases with the whole aspect of human services. One of the things that has happened here that I have noticed is that legislators are resistant in regard to helping and setting up human services systems because they see it as being an extra expense. So instead of focusing upon how can we get people off from social services or how can we get them the help they need so that they aren't a burden on the system, we basically create a burden on the system by not addressing those issues.
Gotcha.
And so a lot of that goes together. And the other aspect that I'm always have been working on for 50 plus years is bringing organizations together. And an important part of that is the church community in order to meet the needs of people. It's very easy for an organization to go in 14 different directions. Really what it all boils down to is building healthy communities through healthy families. In other words, if we're focused upon families, then we build neighborhoods, then we build communities, then we build counties. But what happens a lot of times is we take the top approach, where if we improve the government, we're going to take care of the families. Well, that not isn't necessarily true. And many people get left behind. Again, we're involved in the trying to set up health ministry networks, trying to get good education to parents and families in regard to how to help them. We're also going to be establishing in the near future, hopefully, a Christian business forum. All of these pieces go together. It all has to do with families, and it all has to do with healthy families. And if we don't have that, everything else that we're doing, in my opinion, is a waste of time.
That's Casey Jones of Belmont, New York, building bridges in his community through Allegheny Hope. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. And Hometown Heroes comes your way Tuesdays during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Please keep an eye on the sky. Thunderstorms will be rumbling across parts of the area this afternoon into the evening hours. Some will be feisty. Behind a cold front, though, that spawns today's unsettled weather, comes a refreshing air mass and some crisp air for later in the week. In the meantime, for this afternoon, mostly cloudy, breezy, warm and humid. Showers and thunderstorms, some potent into the evening hours. High temperatures ahead of rains in the 80s, but dropping sharply in the heavier showers. Overnight low temperatures near 60. Tomorrow, noticeably less humid. A cooler day, too, for many. A mix of clouds and sunshine with a pop-up thundershower possible in the afternoon. A breezy day. High temps mainly 70s. Thursday's bright and crisp. High temperatures in the upper 60s to the middle 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally at noon, how to reach today's youth. Churches that want to remain relevant need to shift their social media strategies, says Family Life's Greg Gillespie.
Anyone who relies on Facebook posts to connect with teenagers are essentially going to be as successful as if they were handing out 8-track tapes and cassettes. Teens' usage of Facebook has plummeted in half in the past 8 years. Using data from Pew Research, Christian strategist George Bullard says churches have better social media options to stay in touch with teens already connected with the church or to do outreach toward new young adults. TikTok is a frequent choice for 67% of teens. Instagram and Snapchat have seen recent growth, now used by 6 out of 10 U.S. teens. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
All right, very interesting. You got to remain relevant. Thank you, Greg. That's the world we live in. Tuesday, the 30th of August. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.